Welcome to Animation Damnation, loyal Patreon subscribers. This is your monthly cartoon recap show. My name is Andrew Jupin. Alongside three pint-sized versions of ourselves,
aww,
we have Steve Sadak.
I'm a poor kid living in the Bronx.
Chris Cavan.
Where's the Wendy's?
And Eric Siska.
We're all little critters.
The cartoon in question this month, Little Ellen. Currently found here in the United States on HBO Max. Now, what we're doing here, because it's an 11-minute television program literally meant for people under the age of 7, which we which we didn't know until we agreed to do this. So we're going to do two episodes. We're going to do the first episode and the last episode of the first season. The first episode up, season 1, episode 1, Best Laid Plans, original air date, September the 13th of 2021.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, there is a little toxic work environment on this show, I would imagine.
A little, with an apostrophe. Lawsuit.
It's a if little you, bad.
Here's the thing. If you, in your little life, could achieve what Little Ellen achieved in her life, then maybe you should fucking work harder, dude.
That's right.
Work your little 7-year-old ass harder.
Look, Freckle, I'm just really stressed out right now. So when someone... I'm not going to say who. Someone brings me a double cappuccino with macadamia foam instead of almond foam. It is maybe okay for me to, I don't know, throw a knife at them.
Well, it's kind of amazing that the first, I mean, look, and yes, Andrew, you're right. It's, and that's a very important thing to call out, that it's for little children. You know
this
what I mean?
This is like there was like Nickelodeon and then there was Nick Jr.
Exactly.
And this is Nick Jr.'s shit.
But the lesson of the first episode, the last episode's kind of a waste of time, I mean, in a big bad way. But like the first episode, at least it's like a cute little thing about, you know, it's okay for plans to change. And like, you don't always have to get your way every time. And I'm like, did Big Ellen watch this or not so much?
Absolutely, dude. Yeah, why don't you fucking take a note from your own cartoon, you sack of shit.
I cannot believe after that whole controversy about, you know, the Ellen show, that they just give her a fucking cartoon on HBO Max.
It's the weirdest, like, please try to love me again. Maybe you'll love me if I make something for your kids. I'm not a monster.
But the weirdest part is it's got nothing to do with Ellen DeGeneres. She's not doing the voice. It's not like a Life with Louie thing where, you know, hey, it's me. I'm a little kid.
It's not that. It's not fucking Bobby's World where Howie Mandel was IRL introducing each episode. But which I thought for sure that was going to be the case with this shit.
I really thought there'd be something, but I guess it is sort of based on her life.
Is it?
Could say that because she's from Louisiana originally.
But I think that's where it stops, though, because if the IMDb is to be believed, and both of these episodes that we watched, you can't really tell either way.
If you're about to tell me that Gramsci is fake and didn't exist in real life, I'm putting a gun in my mouth right now.
No, that I don't know about, but what the IMDb says is that this show, for whatever reason, takes place in 1985, and if it were in fact to be Little Ellen's childhood, that would be in the 1960s.
She was, she did Carson,
Yeah, well, because Ellen DeGeneres was born in the late 50s.
Yeah, so, of course she was.
But, like, that's what it's weird. It separates it even farther from, like, the young life of Ellen DeGeneres growing up, you know, just outside of New Orleans in Louisiana.
And where's her little brother, the leech Vance DeGeneres? Where's he? Oh, you know, hey, little Ellen, one day I'm going to be on the Little Daily Show and then everyone's going to forget about me.
I just looked it up. November 1986, she was doing stand-up comedy on Johnny Carson.
Well, that's it. Also, the show doesn't really do anything to be like, it's the 80s. Like, there's no signifiers at all.
It's just that thing of like, when you take away technology we have now, it's hard to tell when the show is supposed to take place, right?
So, like, Little Ellen doesn't have a laptop or a fucking phone or anything like that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's all. That's all I was trying to say. Also, by the way,
Is that right, Steve? Vance DeGeneres is related to Ellen DeGeneres?
He was, yeah. He's a brother.
Did not know that.
There you go, wow. Dude.
They went on to produce the incredible Burt Wonderstone, by the way.
Look, Freckle, I'm sorry about your kneecap, but the thing is that I asked for tuna on my salad, not chicken, okay? And that's not on me. That can't be on me because I told you what I wanted.
Did we miss the episode where she hangs out with little George W. Bush and they like they enjoy each other's company?
Oh, wow. When you tortured those kids, it was really cute. Wow. I just love being around powerful people. Now, how do you say it? Abu Ghraib? Not a grave. A grave, right?
Well, hey, little Ellen, you want to go see my paintings?
Abu Ghraib led to Abu Graves. That is correct.
So the first episode is, what do we call it there?
It's called Little Ellen.
Thank you. No,
Best Laid Plans.
Best Laid Plans.
Yes. And
every episode starts with her in the bathroom. That's got like getting taking ready for the day.
Taking a dump.
What is it about these cartoons where like these comedies in general where you, I think it's just, it's a telltale sign at this point. If your episode or your movie or whatever starts with the protagonist having a wacky time in the bathroom in the morning, mm-hmm. you're in for some trouble. This is what happened in The Jerk. This is what happened in Chairman of the Board. And now the first episode of Little Ellen, she's having fucking shower shenanigans going on while she's talking at the camera. Come on, everybody.
Nobody likes shower shenanigans.
Not The Jerk.
But she's all excited because they're going, today is the Bestival Festival.
Sure.
Which is, I guess, this little New Orleans festival that they're going to go to.
Hey, Andrew, can I ask you, how can the best of all be the worst of all?
Oh, boy.
Well, I guess we're going to find out.
Well, if Gramsci gets too fucking wasted, it's going to be the worst of all, which is, I mean, that's clearly what Gramsci is up to, right?
Oh,
Gramsci's a fall-down drunk.
Gramsci's a fall-down drunk who, I mean, we learned, by the way, voiced by June Squibb, so that's something. But we find out because the whole thing is like, oh, we can't go to the festival on time because fucking Gramsci can't find her gosh darn car keys.
Yeah.
So they got to take the trolley.
Yeah.
And
you know
when they get
means?
On the trolley,
that means the someone took those car keys away from her because she was drinking too heavily the night before.
No, I think it's she had to fucking take the tram home and she just like spilled shit all over the tram car and just walked out like, Gramsci, you'll see you tomorrow.
It's my favorite thing. I was riding a bus in Baltimore and this drunk couple got kicked off. And this guy on his way out, he was like, hey, man, I'm not even trying to ride this bus that way, okay? I'm not even trying to ride this bus that way. Like, you got to go. Like, all right, man, see you tomorrow. Gramsci wasn't trying to ride the trolley that way, dude.
I was trying to ride the trolley on top of the trolley.
So we have a, you know, let's search for the house for Gramsci's keys. And it's like, this is exciting, even for children, just watching people hunt for car keys.
Mm-hmm.
And we do learn that also there's a musical act that's going to be at the festival named
Funky Chunk.
And the little buddy Freckle, you know, he's also kind of a little musician, and he's excited to maybe meet Funky Chunk is the idea.
Can I say something about the voice acting here?
And I mean, it's terrible.
And sometimes it works out. You get your early Charlie Browns. Like sometimes kids doing kid voices are okay.
Yeah.
More often than not, it's this where Becky, the brown haired friend, I couldn't make heads or tails of what this girl was saying. She'd
are
be like,
you kidding
me?
Absolutely terrible.
You cannot say this right now because we're going to get in a heap of trouble because apparently the little girl that voices Becky is a YouTube star.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No.
I don't give a shit. Okay.
is her YouTube stardom from the fact that she releases videos where she tries to say lines of dialogue with a bunch of marbles in her mouth?
No, she went viral at 9 years old in the summer of 2015 for her performance of Aretha Franklin's Respect.
Oh,
the video itself had over 80 million views.
Uh-huh.
And hooray. Which led to Chris Cabin, multiple international and domestic television appearances, people interviewing her based on this YouTube video. And isn't it funny, folks, how you could wake up day after day in this horrible world and work hard, nose to the grindstone. Look at us putting out podcasts every fucking day. Almost every day with the amount of shit we have now. For 11 years, where's my television appearance?
I don't know, man. I guess they thought that this little girl had something interesting to say.
Eric, do you want to be this baby?
I would love to be born into a younger vessel, obviously. This body is on its way out.
Sure.
And out of those 80 million views, only 1.5 million were perverts. So that's good.
Yeah, that's nice. True.
It's good that they have those breakdowns in the back.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
And 17 million were racist.
Oh, your pervert count was way up.
This algorithm is something else, fellas.
Wouldn't you know, she was on Ellen, I guess, for this video because it was so sweet. And Steve Harvey as well.
Oh, wow.
Were the two girls one cup girls on Ellen as well?
Yes, they were.
They are definitely more talented than this little girl.
I was going to say, YouTube sensations.
They were sitting, you know, being interviewed by Ellen about their famous video, Two Girls, One Cup, and then someone snuck up behind them and scared them because it was a Halloween episode.
And then they vomited and shit all over the set.
Oh, fucking whatever. So they're so excited to get to this festival because they're excited for beignets. They get there too late because drunk grandma lost the keys and they had to take the fucking trolley car. And all the beignets are sold out, so they're bumming about that. They're bumming because they miss... what's another thing they're fucking excited for? Oh,
well, stupid. Gramsci is missing her friend, Ginny.
it becomes this like chain reaction thing where instead of getting what they wanted to eat, they have to eat these po' boys that then make them sick to their stomach.
Because they house it to get on the fucking Gravitron or whatever the
fuck.
Yeah,
the swamp spinner, call it.
There's something, there's like this little turd who's in both of these episodes. I don't know, like he runs the Gravitron in this one and he is fucking shit up in the last one. He's like their nemesis, I guess.
Got a very heavy-duty theater kid energy.
Yeah, Dewey? Big time. Is it Dewey?
Yes, I believe it's Dewey.
Yeah, he's like a slightly older, like, white boy.
Yes.
He's doing the whole, like, okay, you have to be under this height to ride the ride. Okay, you know, he's like the admission ticket-taker guy, whatever.
Yeah, and Granny can't go on because they searched her bag and they found her stash. And she might be ejected from the park. We're not sure yet.
You're telling me all these pills are for your memory.
And this flask is to wash it all down, you said?
Interesting.
It would have been great, though, instead of like...
I wouldn't have to sneak it in if you didn't charge $12 for a beer, you assholes. So this is on you.
Now, child, eat up your oyster po' boy before you spin around for 5 minutes.
Dude, and I know it's supposed to be like just because like, it's an old lady and she's tired, but it is... I don't know. It's a little suspect where she's like, Granny's got to sit down and take a nap right here on this bench. Oh, my dear Lord, I'm drunk.
Oh, I don't need to go on a little ride to spin, honey. I've been doing it all day.
I'm still drunk from yesterday's.
All I got to do is close my eyes and let my head hit the pillow, and I got the spins, baby.
Yay, Grammy smells like juniper.
Oh, she always does, dude.
That's just my perfume. That's nothing to do with the gin and juice.
Granny, why is it that we got nauseous on the ride and you're the one that threw up at the park?
Well, it was going around and round for Gramsci then, child.
You girls, you go on have your ride at the carnival. I'm taking a ride in an ambulance because I was drunk and fell and have a serious head injury now.
Anyone ever yak at an amusement park out of curiosity?
I think I might have after going on. I think I've ridden like two roller coasters in my life, and I think after one of those, I up-chucked. But I did make it to the garbage canister.
Mm, oh, nice. Good. I don't think so. I've been like sick to my stomach amusement parks, but I don't think I ever, the dam never broke.
I don't either.
I don't think I ever vomited. I did take like one of the worst shits of my life at a at a great escape, and it was just it was horrible.
What happened there?
Yeah, please tell.
It's just one of those situations where it usually this happens at home where you know you can't be that far from the toilet for an hour. There's just there's a situation. So that happened to me at a great escape.
Ooh, that sucks.
You were touch and go a lot.
I was touch and go, and I was like literally either in the toilet or on the bench outside the toilet for about 90 minutes.
Oh, that sucks, man.
It was horrible. Horrible.
Chris, Bugs Bunny's out here. He wants to say hello.
I'm sure he does. Not right now.
Those little kids should have got diarrhea on that ride from the po' boy. That would have been something.
That makes more sense than being nauseous. I mean, I guess it could sit in your stomach like a rock, but of the squirting hot shit.
And that's like...
Yeah, you know where I'm coming from. Thank you.
And that is... It is still a lesson you could teach kids, like what to do when you accidentally shit your pants in public, because it's all going to happen to you. So,
For sure.
See, look at this. You guys thought there'd be nothing to talk about.
So then the last thing is the kid there really wants to meet Funky Chunk, and you can get a whatever VIP tickets or whatever meet and greet with Funky Chunk if you can dunk him in a dunk tank thing, and the kid sucks shit at throwing a baseball, so it doesn't happen. And then there's like a really odd, out of nowhere musical number where we got the fucking festival blues.
Oh man!
And grandma's playing fucking upright bass, but really, I think she was just like hugging a tree, drunk,
breathing heavily.
Funky Chunk just gives her a twig. Yeah, go ahead, Granny.
No, it's just like, in the fantasy, she's playing the upright bass. When you come back to reality, she's just making out with a random older man. Like, where did that guy come from?
Where'd you get this gin from, lady?
Does it matter? We're fucking having the blues. And then I guess the idea is Funky Chunk has kind of been standing there the whole time, and here's the kid playing the harmonica. This Funky Chunk character design, by the way, they drew this guy like a black Bob Ross.
Yeah, he's got a cool little afro there.
Just like lightly thinning. It's pretty great. So he's like, oh, that's some good harmonica playing. Like, you know, I'm going to invite you to play on stage with me at this music festival. And so we go to the little festival stage area, and he's playing, and he's like, now I'm going to bring out like this kid and the rest of his friends. And I was like, well, only one of them's playing the instrument.
Please, everybody, meet these strangers I just met.
Little children, ladies and gentlemen. Woo, yay! That's what I came to this jazz club for.
What's Funky Chunk's problem? Did you see that last Funky Chunk concert at the festival? Like, he was going to play a set, but then, like, a bunch of little kids were just all dancing around him. What's that guy's problem?
I think he's fucking that old white lady.
And remember, he passed away the next morning. He's probably just in the middle of it right then.
Oh man, Funky Chunk goes down fucking Gramsy. That's something.
He went out with a smile on his face, that's for sure.
He's a granny shagger.
And that's what we learn, folks. We learn a lesson that you can, even if your plans don't go exactly to plan, things might work out in the end. And maybe you don't have to yell at your underlings.
No, patience. Yep. You know, patience is good. Also, when you have a white hot one coming out your ear, it's best to be at home.
Oh, man, so that is that one. So then over on season 1, episode 10, NOLA Confidential, another 11-minute episode. Original air date, October the 14th, 2021. No real lesson in this one again, other than Gramsy is a menacing alcoholic.
Yes.
Yeah, I cannot believe they're keeping it up.
They she needs to get into treatment. Maybe that's next season, because it's like, oh, little Ellen and Gramsy stayed up late last night watching some mystery show.
It's called Detective Shirley Snoop.
That's cute.
We found semen in her, Shirley. It's like a hard-hitting SVU-type cop show.
Well, Diagnosis Murder hasn't started yet, so we have to watch this.
What is semen? I'm Shirley Snoop. I don't know what that is.
We do have a very weirdly more just bathroom time with this little girl at the start of it, where like she's talking to the cat about how great the mystery show was, and uh-oh, where's my toothbrush? So it's like the mystery of the missing toothbrush for a second.
It was so much fun when Shirley Snoop realized that Alistair McQuaid couldn't have gotten her pregnant because he had a vasectomy in 1979.
Shirley Snoop's a genius. Also, I don't know what vasectomy means.
So the big thing today is we're going to give all our old fave boozehound Gramsy a surprise, and it's this nice garden, but we go out there and uh-oh, the whole thing has been completely destroyed.
No, for the last time, Gramsy, it's not rum balls. I know you always ask for rum balls, but it's going to be a different present.
Some great dialogue here. I've never seen squash this squashed before.
Ooh.
Anyone else notice this John Krakauer van they've got in their backyard?
Yeah, someone's eating the wrong part of the berries in this thing, huh?
We got to give a ride to Christopher McCandless to Alaska.
The meat went bad.
I should have never killed the moose.
I didn't see that movie, so I can't quote it.
You didn't
it, really.
See Into the Wild?
It's no, good. I never
you should.
Did.
I really like it a lot.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
You get to see Vince Vaughn arrested for pirating cable television.
Oh, sign me up. Why did I know that 10 years ago? Come on.
It was probably the best thing that Sean Penn did before Licorice Pizza. Mm. And for the last thing he did.
Oh, nice. Yeah, certainly wasn't fucking Flag Day. That movie's a
sir.
Or Woo. Gangster Squad.
Ooh, I never caught it.
I never caught it either, but it was
I
just
caught it, and I don't remember it.
Yep. That movie was billed to be like the biggest movie of the year, and nobody liked it. Literally nobody liked it.
Also, Chappelle did like his own Taken. I think it's called like The Gunman or something like that.
Oh, right.
Oh, ooh, man.
I have not had the pleasure.
I wish Sean Penn was in this cartoon.
That'd be nice.
Oh, do a little Sean Penn where he's just assaulted people.
Speaking of which, though, there is a funny moment of animation here where, like, little Ellen is taking Gramsy, like, out onto the lawn, and she's like, Gramsy, time for your surprise. And she's got this shovel. And I was like, is she going to kill this lady?
Yeah. You know, just that would be helpful for her.
Yeah, she covers them with salt, and it mummifies them.
So Gramsy's like, hey, cool surprise. It's a bunch of dirt and shit. Well, I'm going to, a dance class with this like weird swinger couple that I guess.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Clearly, we're watching like the last episode of this season after only watching the first one. So we've met these people before. Uh-huh.
Well, kids, watch yourself.
Yeah, because we're liking Gramsy's vibe here. So we're just going to take her to dance lessons. And this is where it's getting weird again, man. All of a sudden, these garden gnomes come to life.
What the fuck? Bianca, whatever. I was surprised.
Sebastian, yeah.
It's like a thing where, like, yes, obviously it's supposed to be that, you know, little Ellen's got such a great imagination, but, like, they're just, like, characters. They're like David the Gnome and his wife.
Yeah, it's weird because I was like, oh, the fantasy is like going beyond her. It's all the kids, and the grandmother also appears to acknowledge the existence of these gnomes.
It's very confusing.
It's very, very strange.
Now we all don our little detective outfits, and we're gonna solve the mystery of who ruined Gramsy's yard.
Dude, there is a abysmal line right around here where like the gnomes are telling, you know, what went down, and they're like, you know, oh, we were just having a nice little romantic dinner in the backyard when someone stomped in and destroyed the garden, but it was dark and we couldn't see them or whatever. And one of these little kids, like, in response to, oh, we were having a nice dinner together, is like, Bianca and Sebastian are relationship goals. Shut the fuck up, cartoon.
God damn it. You're like 4 years old. Like, you don't know what relationship goals are.
Also, it's 1985. Relationship goals didn't exist yet, you idiot.
Thank you. That was more to the point. Your anachronistic garbage hip dialogue. Shit. Just shit.
Is it just because you don't want to animate cell phones? Is that the whole fucking thing? Is that really fucking it, man?
Oh, it's got to be something, man. So they suspect this kid Dewey again of doing something because they see him mowing the lawn, and this is
by
his
the way,
latest.
It is night when he's mowing the lawn. I think that is a huge red flag. This kid has got fucking problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, they think it's him with the lawnmower at night, but
he has an alibi that he bought that lawnmower that morning, so he couldn't have stepped on it or whatever the fuck.
Right, right, right. And I guess that's the other gimmick of this character is every episode I guess you probably see him with a different business venture, because he's in the first episode he presents a little business card that he made about working at the festival, and then he presents a business card here about lawn mowing services or whatever. And it's like, man, weird like entrepreneurial children like that, they do exist, and it's fucked up.
Well, speaking of licorice pizza, dude.
Yes, exactly right. Gary Valentine himself.
Oh, nice card. Let's see little Paul Allen's card.
Oh, man, little Paul Allen.
Oh, man, yeah. A little American Psycho. That'd be cute. The Adventures
so nice.
Of Little Patrick Bateman.
Can you imagine just a little Patrick Bateman, little animated guy, and he's running with that chainsaw?
So cute.
Not the little face. Not the little face.
Don't just stare at it. Eat it. And by that, I mean my lunch.
Oh, yay. Yay.
That's cute, right? Super cute.
I guess they then go on to suspect this Miss Adelaide woman, who's just this poor old lady trying to meditate and live her life, and she's getting just harassed by little Ellen
well,
and company.
That's what she gets for being new agey.
Yes, and she's, you know, the Pope said it. She's a childless woman, so she has to get beset by these little gobelins.
That's true.
Is that how only Italians say goblins?
Yes. These little gobelins.
Ghosts and gobelins.
Oh, Marol, it's a little gobelin come up to me.
And these are ghosts.
They call kids that resist their advances gobelins.
I go to smack at your face and you put up your hand and catch my hand, you little gobelin.
Now you eat up your pasta, you gobelins.
So the kids decide, all right, we're gonna fucking pull a stake out here, really bust these fuckers, because under the presumption that the lawn will get messed with again, yes. So they use the gnomes as bait. And holy shit, wouldn't you believe it, the attack comes the second night in a row, and it's Gramsy. They say she's sleep dancing, but dude, this lady's just wasted.
It's a fucking, it's a freak out. It's a full-on drunk maniac shit.
Yeah, Gramsy was dancing with the white horse near the tree.
Yep, exactly. You got some fine coffee here in Twin Peaks, Gramsy.
Well, I mean, their first fucking clue should have been the vomit next to the fucking, smelled like rye.
Yeah, Gramsy, even after a shower, you still smell like juniper. It's just unbelievable. Did you get some new wash, maybe some lavender?
I'm sweating it out of my body.
Oh, whatever. I don't need to go into treatment.
I'm trying out.
Oh, man. So, yeah, this old lady's guilty once again of fucking destroying her own yard. And I don't, you know what? Something tells me she's not fit to take care of these children.
No,
I
not
don't
at
think
all.
So. No.
No, maybe that's season two. We'll start interior funeral home. Gramsy lays in a casket.
Honestly, Freckles seems a lot more responsible in general. As a person, I would put more weight as a person to be a role model. I think Freckle really has it.
Yeah, totally. So that's the end of this cartoon venture. Now, I think more than anything, this proves that the next time we decide to do a cartoon, we should look at what it's about first.
We got to go younger. We clearly have to go younger. We have to go baby Einstein next time.
I think we could do it, dude. I think we could really do it. I think we could go younger.
But
I think
just to tamp down the inevitable, you know, it's for little kids, right? Like, yeah, we do. Yeah. Now we know.
And
whatever.
Do you know this podcast is for fucking adults, dipshit?
So, am I safe in assuming that all of us were embarrassed watching this?
Oh, 100%.
Deeply.
Dog shit.
Yeah. Because it's not like, you know, thankfully it wasn't so young where it's like her looking at the camera being like, Do you know who ruined Gramsci's yard?
Yes, and I was very terrified that it was going to go down that avenue, Stephen. If that was the case, I was fucking calling it off.
I do have to... The thing with the age is, like, I originally had to double-check the text thread. I watched the second one, and then I ended up watching the last one after that because I had forgotten it wasn't... I thought we were doing the first two. Uh-huh. So I watched the second one, which is all about her cat getting depressed.
Ooh.
And it's all about learning how to deal with depressed people. I'm like, kids under seven are really dealing with this?
Hey, or man, like, nope. It's the United States of America. Start them young.
I don't know. It was really wild. I was like, that's a strange message to be like trying to put in kids' heads.
Well, I guess that's fair, right? Start them young because everyone in these United States are depressed and on
the
end of their fucking rope, Chris. Every sure. goddamn fucking day. Fair.
Even the cats. It's true.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So next month on AD, maybe something a little more adult. But this has been our presentation of Little Ellen. Any final thoughts on Little Ellen?
No.
Or just Ellen? Not. Ellen sucks. Ellen sucks. I feel like we haven't mentioned that enough. She does suck. So
she sucks.
Yeah. That's kind of the point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just glad that finally we can be in a place publicly where I can just say how much I don't care for Ellen because I always have not. And it was like, but she's a treasure or whatever.
I mean, I'll be honest. I used to love her stand up. I think that as a stand up, she's a really funny stand up comedian.
She did really lead the way. I mean, with the way she came out, she could have not have done that. And I think that helped a lot of people and advance the cause to eventually get us to a point where gay marriage is a thing in this country.
For sure. Yeah.
Not knocking any of that. I'm specifically talking about talk show era.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. Yeah, no, she's a monster.
And all the cutesy fucking... that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
I never bought that shit and was always like, there's something up with that. And sure enough, I was right.
Mm-hmm. I will say she should have... it's good she stayed on TV because when she tried to get into movies, my Jesus
Ooh,
Christ.
That was
oh,
it was.
Dude, we rough. Have to do Mr. Wrong. We have to do it, man. But yes, no, Steve, you're totally right. Her stand up is great, actually. You should seek out the old Ellen stand up. Yeah, but just she made some wrong decisions exactly. running that talk show.
Here's Absolutely. The thing is like, these fucking, you know, once people get enough money, enough fame, they become a fucking monster, and that's just that's the moral of the story out there in Holly Weird.
Thank you, Alex Jones.
Oh man,
you're welcome, Chris Cabin.
Thank you.
Oh man, Little Alex Jones. That should be next week or next month's cartoon.
That would
I
be
hope that exists.
A better cartoon.
I'm running out of money.
Yeah, totally. Man, all right, so that is it. That's Animation Damnation for this month. Thank you, as always, for being the loyal Patreon subscribers that you are. And until the next cartoon, I'm Andrew Jupin,
Steven Sadak,
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.